Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.
Well, it's mid-year, it's cold, and also salary review season is here. But with economic uncertainty, rising living costs, and I guess cautious employers, how realistic are pay increase expectations this year? Well, I want to discuss that with Lindiwe Sebesho, who's a Master Reward Specialist and Executive Member at the South African Reward Association. And let's try to separate a little bit of fact from what I think could be hopeful fiction as far as many of us are concerned. So, Lindiwe, a very warm welcome. And let's start with the obvious. Are most employers or employees going to be disappointed by their increases this year?
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Jeremy. It's interesting. Yes, there are expectations. There are plans in place as a reward association. We see what employers are anticipating, taking all the factors that you've mentioned into consideration. So it's not like they will not be granting increases, but we are seeing a bit of caution in terms of how much increases are granted.
What are you seeing then as the average increase percentage being offered across different sectors? And maybe if you could even look at private and public.
Yes. So on average, nationally, we're seeing about 5 to 6%, which is a bit of a good thing, because that's a real increase of about 3% if you look at the average CPI, which most employers use, hovering around the 3%. So the downward trend there has been a bit more positive. There are increases that are higher than that, especially in sectors that are having higher skills demands. So, for instance, we're seeing financial services, we're seeing the technology firms, and interestingly, we're also seeing the healthcare firms based on innovation and so on, granting higher increases than the average I've just spoken to, Jeremy.
Of course, many people, Lindiwe, will argue that their cost of living has gone up by more than inflation. I wonder if employers actually factor that in sufficiently.
Yeah, the real cost of living, Jeremy, has gone much higher than what we're seeing inflation trends look like. And therefore, you and I do feel the actual cost of things like fuel, things like food and so on. So unfortunately for the average employee who is going to get that average increase of about 5 to 6%, they may actually be still experiencing a higher real cost of living, which puts lots of pressure on budgets.
So beyond inflation then, what are the key factors that determine whether a company can offer an increase right now?
So a lot of it is about affordability. It's about the company's performance. Is it able to offer the services and product that it should be selling in order for it to afford increases? But at the same time, it's also about skills and talent. A lot of organizations are looking for highly skilled employees to be able to execute and deliver on their strategies in a sustainable manner. Unfortunately, we've seen the economic factors not necessarily being conducive, not only to employees, but to companies. And therefore, it does come down to affordability. It also comes down to talent strategies. It comes down ultimately to what it is that employers' remuneration policies are based on and what they can afford at this time.
So in your view then, Lindiwe, what is the biggest mistake that employees make when asking for a raise in this very difficult economic climate?
I think it's not necessarily understanding the factors that drive increases. And we've spoken about them just now. So it's very important for employees to do their homework in terms of where their organization is. I always say a lot of employees don't read the integrated reports of the organizations that they work for, because that's where you will find a lot of the information. Obviously, if you are not talking to your line manager and understanding the overall business is doing from a performance perspective. So it's important to have that understanding, read your integrated report, understand your REM policy, and then know the worth of your job. There are various sources of salary information, but obviously make sure that you use authoritative information from recognized experts to understand what it is that your job is worth, and obviously how that aligns with the remuneration policy of your organization.
Your argument makes absolute sense, but it's also up to companies, managers, and HR leaders as well to more effectively communicate pay decisions and strategy, and perhaps be a little bit more transparent and constructive.
Absolutely, Jeremy. I couldn't agree with you more there. That's a role that we are actually encouraging as the South African Rewards Association to say, please, employers, communicate, but employees also embrace that information. And the one factor that I always encourage both parties to be very clear on is the performance. Ultimately, the employer-employee relationship is about productivity. It is about performance. Most organizations do have performance management processes, but not all employees or employers effectively manage those so that everybody understands what contribution they need to actually make in order to be able to grow the organization and therefore be able to get an increase. And not only an increase, but other aspects of pay, for instance, the benefits as well as performance-based incentives are largely informed by the actual delivery that you put into the job that you are in.
But there is still some debate around the pay-for-performance model. There are suggestions that it might not be viable when companies are struggling and staff already stretched thin.
Absolutely. And I think the pay-for-performance model assumes that if people perform, companies won't struggle, isn't it? And obviously, there are factors outside of an individual and a collective team's performance that will impact the company's performance. So, yes, it is one aspect, but it does need to be understood by the parties in order for it to be optimized.
Of course, it's not just about salary, isn't it? And perhaps more thought needs to be given towards a total reward package beyond just the money.
Absolutely, Jeremy. And that's why one of the things that we encourage is for all parties to see the bigger picture. Remuneration is not just about the money, as you've just said. It includes the cost of benefits. And most employers would include in the entire remuneration package benefits that are not necessarily cash, but they are, for instance, retirement benefits, because those would help employees save for the future. They could be wellness benefits. They could be flexible work benefits. They could be extensive leave benefits. So all those aspects have an indirect cost, but they also need to be looked at in terms of how they optimize the package in its totality.
So just a final one then, what's your one piece of big advice to a person walking in to a conversation about salary this month?
Get in very informed, understand where the organization's performance is at, understand the level of affordability. You need to have read your policy. You need to understand your job's worth. You need to understand your value and show that value in terms of what you have contributed. But walk in there with an open mind. Walk in there also considering the fact that you're not only just looking for an increase for now, you're also looking to retain your job in the long term.
And as you rightly say, do your homework before you have that critical conversation. Lindiwe Sebesho, thank you very much indeed. Master Reward Specialist and Executive Committee Member at the South African Reward Association. I appreciate your time.
Our business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.